Can we now all please pray for the sharing of the word? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for this blessed opportunity every Sunday to listen to your word. It is our obligation to listen, Lord God, to your word and to obey your word. And so I lift up to you myself, O Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you will go beyond my weakness and you will just allow me to share your word, Lord God, the way it has to be shared, with power, with conviction, so that it will change lives, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that we will all leave this place changed, Lord God, by your word, because you have commanded us to obey this. And so I pray, Lord God, for every heart that is here, take hold of every heart, take hold of every soul. I pray, Lord God, that you will give us alertness of mind, that if there is anything that is from you that is important, we will all have this attentiveness. We will all desire to listen. We will all desire also, Lord God, to obey. Thank you, Father. We entrust the sharing of your word unto you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning, Pumule. When Pastor Enns asked me to preach in Dagupan about evangelism a few weeks ago, this was the message that I shared to the church there. But then in our elders' meeting about 2 weeks ago, Pastor Robbie informed us that he will be in Cebu for about a week, starting June 10. And so he needed one of the elders to preach here in Baguio in his absence. And it was then that Pastor Enns suggested that it might be a good idea for me to share the same message that I preached in Dagupan. And so I agreed. But looking back at the events of that elders' meeting, I realized that it was indeed a good idea for me to preach the same message because none of the other elders volunteered to preach while Pastor Robbie was away. And that is why I am standing here before you today. Ayan po. But kidding aside, we trust in the sovereignty of the Lord, diba? And we trust that He will fulfill His purposes through me as I stand here before you today. And even if I preached this message in Dagupan, I'm sure that none of you were in Dagupan while I preached it. So this does not qualify as a replay preaching for you. Hindi po ba? So please don't worry. You will still hear this as a fresh preaching. Now, as I was selecting a passage about evangelism, this passage in 1 Peter caught my attention. And as I began to study it in detail, considering the background and the context, I realized that this was not the kind of evangelism that we are usually involved in. Kasi most of us po plan an evangelistic activity and then we go to Burnham Park or to the mall or to some other public place and then we share the gospel to as many random strangers that we meet. Hindi po ba? That's how we usually approach our evangelism activities. But the evangelism being taught by Peter in this passage was a more serious and deeper type. Yes, it still involves the telling of how Christ came to save the lost. But it first needs to display a life of godliness and faith before sharing gospel principles. And so I'd like to ask you to please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And I'd like to read that from the NASB. It says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So I'd like to just give us a brief background of this book. The ex-fisherman, turned apostle, Peter, wrote this letter to Christians scattered in territories that have been under Roman control sometime during AD 62 to 63. Now, Peter knew that believers in those days were going through severe persecution. Now, he wrote to encourage his readers to endure suffering and persecution, emphasizing that those who suffer persecution should be full of hope and should therefore persevere in faith. Now, he knew that believers were living in a hostile world, and he wanted them to live and feel secure in the middle of all that hostility. Now, he began by letting the persecuted believers know their true identity in Christ. He called them, this is what he called them. He called them a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. He also called them aliens and strangers of this world, pilgrims living on earth without a permanent home or citizenship. Now, since the believer's citizenship is in heaven, he is just passing through this world and is not to participate in any of its ungodliness. Now, Peter exhorted them. Here, please listen to this. Peter exhorted them to keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles or the unsaved, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, medyo mahaba po yung phrase na yon. And I believe it deserves to be read a second time. So I'll read it to you a second time just so it will make more emphasis in with you. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So this is what Peter was driving at. The Lord uses the holy life of a Christian to draw the lost to Christ. There, the life, the holy life of a Christian to draw the lost to Christ. In short, he was trying to say, you must live a life of evangelism. And that just happens to be the title of my message today, How to Live a Life of Evangelism. How to Live a Life of Evangelism. And so after speaking of their identity in Christ, Peter then explains to them how to live securely in a hostile society. A believer must not only be willing to suffer, but must trust in the power of God to triumph over persecution and suffering. Now, the persecution that we experience now is nothing compared to the persecution of the early church. But the lessons that Peter gave to the believers of the early Christian church still applies to us today. Now, to get the context for this passage, let's just quickly go through the previous verses in 1 Peter 3, which in my NASB Bible, in the NASB chapter divisions, is entitled Godly living. Now in verses 1 to 7, and verses 1 to 7, Peter exhorts on the duties of wives and husbands to each other. So first he addresses the Christian wives. They must be subject to their own husbands, even if the husband is disobedient to the word. By disobedient to the word, he means not a follower of Christ. Now, the reason Paul gives is found in chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. And he says there, that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. There seems to be a pattern here. Hindi po ba? Now, by submitting to their unbelieving husbands, wives might win them to Christ through the example of their changed lives and their changed hearts. So Peter here repeats his statement. You must live a life of evangelism. So he goes on by saying that Christian husbands must honor their wives, and that marriage is a relationship that involves mutual care, where the wife's submissiveness is met by the husband's unselfish love. The next section from verses 8 to 12 addresses all believers, commanding Christians to live harmoniously with each other. There. You have to exhibit kindness. Ito ang mga sinasabi niya. You have to exhibit humility, refusing to exact revenge. Instead, to give a blessing even when wronged. Now, God's people has always been called to turn away from evil and to do good, even when we are suffering. Suffering is one of the key themes in this letter. Peter emphasizes that those who suffer as Christians will be proven faithful. And so, those who follow Christ are eager to do good, and no one can harm you if you prove zealous for what is good. Now, ito, no, it may be difficult to accept, but it may even be God's will for His people to suffer. God sometimes uses suffering to show the world His power in us. And our response to suffering can draw people to Christ. Jesus Christ was the greatest example of suffering, and God's power was demonstrated in His resurrection and ascension into heaven. Now remember that God's grace abounds in suffering. And it is written in the passage in 2 Corinthians 12:9, which says, we're all very familiar with this verse, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And then in verse 14, Peter instructs Christians not to fear those who cause them to suffer for the sake of righteousness. Now he says here, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Now Peter reminds his readers to expect suffering in a hostile world where we should be seen as different or set apart. Lives of faith will lead to suffering. Do you believe that? Lives of faith will lead to suffering. Yes, you should, because it says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And that is a promise. That's a promise if you desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. Now, you can be persecuted by your community, by the government, by your boss, by your friends, or even by your family. And so, Peter continues in verse 14 by saying, do not fear, do not be troubled. Now, here in verse 15, the passage that we will be studying today, he reveals how believers should respond. Yeah. So, that's it for the introduction. That's probably the longest introduction in my preaching career, hindi po ba? But don't worry, I have a short body. So here is my outline. Let me just give you a short outline of my message this morning. The passage in 1 Peter 3:15 gives us four steps on how to live a life of evangelism. Four steps on how to live a life of evangelism. First, to sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Second, be ready to defend your faith. Third, boldly declare where your hope lies. And then finally, declare it with gentleness and reverence. Let's go to the first point. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, which we can find in the first part of verse 15. What does it mean? What exactly does it mean to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts? Well, the word sanctify means set apart. We are to set Christ apart as Lord in our hearts, or to give Him a special place in our hearts, to exalt Him in our hearts. He must be fully honored as Lord. Now, the original Greek word used for honor here has the sense of treat as holy, regard reverently. So that's what we have to do. Treat as holy and regard reverently Christ as our Lord. Now, this is not a suggestion. This is not an option, but rather a command to all believers to understand and obey the commands of our Lord. It means to turn everything over to Him and to live only to please Him and to glorify Him. So we must fear God instead of fearing man. We must cultivate an attitude of faith that obeys God's word despite the consequences, despite the sufferings. We must have an attitude of being satisfied with the will of God in our lives. Now, since Peter is writing to believers, his audience or his readers already understood that Jesus is Lord. But what Peter was trying to emphasize here, based on the earlier verses, is that even in suffering, or especially in suffering, you must sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. So whatever opposition, whatever persecution or suffering a believer faces, he is to affirm in his heart that Christ is Lord. There he is to accept and acknowledge the Lord's sovereignty and majesty, not fearing his persecutors, but fearing God only. He submits himself to God's will and understanding that his will sometimes will include suffering. The Christian is committed to honoring Christ as Lord even during suffering, and especially during suffering. A submission to Christ as Lord in the middle of all this hostility builds up the Christian's endurance and his courage. Now, a Christian facing a crisis may be tempted to give in to his fears and can make sometimes wrong decisions. But if we sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, we do not need to fear the intimidation of men. No. Return to verse 14 and see that it is written in bold letters there. And do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled. Now go back to verse 13 and it says there, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? So people cannot oppose us if we do good. But even if they do, it is better to suffer for righteousness' sake rather than to compromise our testimony. More harm and suffering can come to us if we fail to trust God. Now, if we sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, instead of experiencing fear as we face the enemy, we can experience blessing. Verse 14 says, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, nakalagay po dyan, you are blessed. That's verse 14. Now in verse 13 to 14, Peter continues his teaching and suffering for doing good. Persecution and suffering are to be expected in the Christian life. We find that in John 16, verse 33. But a believer's response to suffering should point others to Jesus. So Peter here is emphasizing that Christ suffered and died to grant eternal life to those who believe in him. And his example of suffering for doing good should strengthen all of us. So instead of fearing persecution, Christians are to make sure that they suffer for righteousness' sake. Now make sure you are not suffering because you are in sin or you are compromising with the world. That is not the kind of suffering that Peter was referring to here. The fact is, no one likes to suffer. Sin ba dito? Gusto yung suffering? Hindi po ba? We live in the world where suffering is feared. The mere thought of suffering is so frightening, we would rather think of something else. But Peter reminds us that our focus should be on honoring Christ the Lord, as holy. Our holiness will ultimately come from our devotion to Christ. And personal holiness in a culture of opposition usually leads to suffering. To treat Christ as holy also means we do not see ourselves as the center of our being or purpose. Rather, it means we see ourselves as those who are sinners bought by the blood of Christ. That's how we should see ourselves. No? What you consider as holy in your heart will impact your life. Your decisions, your priorities, your morality will be properly be guided by God's word. But if you believe that some worldly things are more important, if you believe that money, possessions, power are more important than living a holy life, then your decisions, your priorities, your morality will be dictated by the world. And it will just prove that you are of this world. Now, one evidence that Jesus Christ is Lord in our lives is the readiness with which we witness to others about him and seek to win them to Christ. And so we must be prepared to give a defense of our faith in Christ Jesus. And this brings us now to the second section of our outline. Be ready to defend your faith. So it says there in the second part of verse 15, be ready always, or always ready to make a defense. Ano bang ibig sabihin ito? You must always, it says there, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account. This does not mean that Christians must be well studied in Scripture, that they can answer any question that unbelievers may throw at them. Hindi po yun, no? Although we must really engage in serious study, but not to prepare us to debate with people from other faiths, but to know God's will for us. What this verse means is that we must be ready to give answers in defense of our faith. A believer should always be ready to tell others the good news of salvation in Jesus' death and resurrection. When Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives, every crisis that we face becomes an opportunity to witness. We are ready to give an answer. Every Christian should be able to give a reasonable defense of his hope in Christ, especially in seemingly hopeless circumstances. Now, a crisis creates an opportunity for witness when a believer behaves with faith and hope, because the unbelievers will sit up and then take notice of your behavior. Remember that we are called to be witnesses. Our lives should speak for what we believe in. Ganito, have you ever encountered someone who is not yet even speaking, but their lives speak volumes of their character? Dumadaan pa lang sila. Nararamdaman mo na na yung kabanalan, kumbaga. Or, think about this. Will you listen to a marriage counselor when you know that he has failed in his marriage? Mahirap po yata yun, no? If his wife left him because of so many marriage issues, will you get him as your speaker in the married couples ministry? Mahirap po yata yun. Hindi po ba? Or if you know someone who has not been a good father and he has rebellious kids, would you get him as a speaker in your parenting seminar? Just because he has the gift of speaking, or just because he is available to speak before the youth, hindi ho yata niyo gagawin yun. No? We must be sure that our lives back up our defense. Always be ready to give a reason for your hope. Be ready to explain why you are committed to Christ, why you are willing to follow Christ, even in suffering and persecution. Explain why you did not seek revenge when you were wronged. Believers should be able to give a rational explanation of their salvation and Christian faith. So ano pang pwede natin gawin habang para mapalakas ito? What can we do? Explain the gospel to yourself. Study how to present it. Master how to present the gospel. Whenever I share the gospel, I always open my notes saved in my iPhone. No? I cannot possibly remember all of those verses. Plus, I believe that I will sound more credible if I read the verses exactly as it is written. But the more you share it, the more confident you will become in sharing it. No? So you need to also consolidate your learnings from these various evangelism methods, evangelism explosion, way of the master, gospel review for gospel sharing, all of this. Come up with a personalized or optimized gospel presentation. Well, in any case, we must be prepared to make the case for faith in Christ. Believers should openly share the good news of redemption through faith in Christ. Now, to anyone who asks, a believer must be ready to provide an answer. Ito lang. A Christian who cannot give a clear or a reasonable biblical explanation for his faith will be insecure. When faced with hostility or when faced with questions, he might even doubt his salvation. So it is in the context of enduring suffering for righteousness' sake that believers are to honor Christ the Lord as holy and then be prepared to give a reason for their hope. And the answer is, and that answer is about the hope that is in you, which brings us to the third point of our outline. Return now to verse 15 and read the third portion of verse 15, where we need to boldly declare where your hope lies. See, when we set Christ apart as Lord, it should dramatically change us. Now, Peter says, those who see us will have to notice the difference. Hope means the promise of salvation for those who have accepted Christ, not death, as payment for their sin. Now, those who believe in his resurrection or Christians who possess this hope and live as though they possess it will strive to live godly lives in harmony with other believers and even with other unbelievers. Even during our suffering, our hopefulness should be evident, should be apparent. And so, Peter instructs us to be ready to answer the question that unbelievers would likely ask. No? How can you be so hopeful in such difficult circumstances? In one of our prayer nights a few months ago, a brother came forward and testified that he lost his job. And yet he was so full of hope. I talked to a believer who was diagnosed with cancer. And still she has joy in her heart. Now when we heard that Pastor Tabs and Sister Tina lost their son Red, and that was a few months ago, we were heartbroken. Mahirap naman ito. Children should bury their parents. No parent should go through the pain of burying a child. I could not imagine the pain that they were going through. And yet, Pastor Tabs declared, he said, we grieve not as those who have no hope, but as those who find hope in the resurrection of Jesus who has defeated death. So makita mo sa kanyang statements, their grief is not the same as the unbelievers who have lost loved ones. Their hope is much different from the normal human response to suffering. The Christian response is so different that unbelievers will become curious and they will have to ask, why? Why? Huh? And so what should we say? We must be prepared to give our defense, to make the case for Christ, for faith in Christ. Believers should take advantage of this opportunity and openly share the good news of redemption through faith in Christ. Now, because people saw that you have gone through suffering and exhibited an exemplary Christian response, you now become a credible witness. Hindi po ba? There must be something evident in our lives that show that we act differently from the world. And that shows, however, if we don't live in such a way as to honor Christ, if we act like the world, then who is going to ask us about the hope that we have? Sadly, people don't hear our words until they see our deeds or our acts. Our words must be consistent with our testimony. Our lives of holiness will demand an explanation because it sets us apart. Every believer is commanded to honor Christ the Lord as holy in their hearts and to give a reason for the hope that they have. And the hope of the Christian causes the unbeliever to ask why the Christian is different. So what is your hope in the face of suffering? We must be able to share with them our living hope, the hope of a life yet to come. We must be able to articulate, no? to clearly communicate our faith to anyone who asks. By our lives, they will be drawn to Christ, and by our words, they will understand why. And now we go to the fourth section of our outline, which is how a believer should answer. Now, please turn to the last portion of verse 15, and it says there, with gentleness and reverence. With gentleness and reverence. Now, we all know that believers will enter into the presence of the Lord and will experience eternal joy in heaven when they die. Amen? We will experience all that. We also know that the unsaved will suffer the unquenchable fires of hell for all eternity. We all know that. Hindi po ba? But what if you go around telling everyone that truth? Kayong mga hindi nananampalataya, masusunog kayo sa impyerno habang kami nasa langit nag-rejoice kasama ng Panginoon. Or you rant in your Facebook page that kayong mga Romano, kayong mga kulto, what exactly are you trying to accomplish with all of that ranting? Hindi po ba? What Peter is trying to say here is how we make the case for Christ is probably as important as our defense. We must not forget to explain the reason for our hope, but we must do so with gentleness and respect. A believer is not to be quarrelsome, no, when he shares his faith. Christians should not condemn those who question our hope. We are not to be vindictive to those who disagree with our faith. We should not return insult for insult. Hindi pwede. Rather, we should explain our faith without being harsh. Peter did not suggest that Christians argue with the lost, but rather that we present to the unsaved an account of what we believe and why we believe it in a loving manner. The purpose is not to win an argument, but to win souls to Christ. And so our passage says, a Christian should defend his faith with gentleness and reverence. The witness, tayo po yon, must display an attitude of respect. Not arrogant, not superior, not harsh. No? We must have a tender spirit, a gracious spirit in speaking. Gentleness speaks of humility. You must display control over this great power and this great blessing that you possess. The original Greek word used for reverence in this verse means fear. It is used the same way as the fear of God, the kind of fear that refers to a healthy devotion to God and a deep respect for God. So you must show respect for the person that you are speaking to. Declare the hope that is in you with gentleness and respect. Now, if we suffer, it should be because we have honored Jesus as our Lord. Not because we have dishonored Him in a way that we have conducted ourselves. And so there, as I end, please let me give it to you again in the form of a summary. Ayan po, in this cruel world that we live in, where we face suffering for our faith, we must live a life of evangelism. How? 4 steps. First, by honoring Christ as Lord in our hearts. 2, by being ready to defend our faith. 3, by declaring where our hope lies. And 4, by declaring it with gentleness and reverence. Ayan po. So, as we usually practice, can we all now please stand, find a partner, and share what part of this message ministered to you. But I would also like to add this. Ano po? Sige po, can you just listen to me for a while lang po? Aside from sharing to your partner what ministered to you, can you please also add, how can I now use this so that I could change my life? What concrete steps must I take to obey the command that the Lord gives me in this message? Yun po. Sige. Please also give your partner an opportunity to share a few words. Please begin praying for each other. We'll be ending in about 3 minutes. If you're done sharing and praying, can you please return to your seat so we can close in prayer? Sige po, can we now please settle down and please join me as we close in prayer. Settle down now, please. Can you all now rise and can you all now please stand and can you, I ask you all to join me in prayer. Salamat po, Panginoon. We thank you, Father, for your word. Your word indeed is a double-edged sword. It strikes us, Lord God, and changes us. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your timeless word. And we pray, Lord God, that today we will indeed make a decision to obey your word. Whatever it is that we have learned today, I pray, Lord God, that it will not go wasted, Lord God. It will not go to waste. Instead, Lord God, we will take advantage of every opportunity that you present so that we will be able to present our defense, Lord, to give the case for Christ, that we will be able to explain why this is what we believe in. We will be able to explain why our faith is in Christ, what he did for us. And we pray, Lord God, that we will do it according to your word. I pray, Lord God, that we will be presented with opportunities like this so that more lost souls can be drawn to your kingdom. We ask, Lord God, for all of this. And we thank you, Lord God, for once again giving us this special privilege of just fellowshipping with the brethren here. Salamat po, Panginoon. This is a special blessing indeed to come before our brothers and sisters side by side, enjoying their fellowship, enjoying their friendship, enjoying the prayers, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this blessed opportunity that you have given us. I give to you all our brothers and sisters who are here. I give them to you, and I pray, Lord God, that you will also bless them mightily as we leave this place. In a special way, we also lift up our tithes and offerings. I pray, Lord God, that as you have spoken to us, we too will be able to give faithfully to your work. I pray, Lord God, that as we give faithfully, you will also be the one to determine where all of these funds will go so that it will go to your kingdom, Lord God, to the furtherance of your word, Lord, and your work. Salamat po, Panginoon. Let your work continue to flourish, Lord God, through this church. And I thank you, Lord God, for every heart that gives faithfully to your work. Be the one, Lord God, to reward them for their faithfulness as well. Salamat po, Panginoon. We entrust all this to you and we give glory to your holy and mighty name. For you alone, Father, are worthy to be given the highest praise and the highest honor. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.